Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Masech Tabesa is daf Lamed Tes. We are on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf for B'lon Lezeich Nishmas Los Lupin Zoltzman. And we are stuck today with a question. We're not stuck. We're going to resolve. But we are with a question. And the question basically goes as follows. We've been discussing now this last couple blot of the Masechta. The Yisr of Tchum on Yantiv. We know that on Yantiv, so although you can carry on Yantiv for the purpose of Ochel Nefesh, but you cannot go beyond Tchum. Tchum is as prohibited on Yantiv as it is on Shabbos. And as a result of that, it ends up with a couple of interesting scenarios. One scenario that's discussed back in the Mishnah is what happened if we make a dough, when we make a dough through a partnership. In other words, I have the flour, but I'm missing water, I'm missing spices, so what do? So I go to my neighbor's house and I say, listen, can I borrow some water? Okay, can I borrow some spices? Great. So now we have a combination. We have a dough that's made up of both. So now we have to take the following into consideration. I have a tchum, and my neighbor has a tchum. Now, if our tchumim are the same tchum, meaning if we live in the same city, so then there's no discussion to be had. The bread could be taken to the same places that we can go, but we can go to the same places. So that's not much of a discussion. Let's make it more interesting. Let's say that my tchum and my neighbor's tchum are not the same. Let's say that for whatever reason my neighbor set up a tchum, an air of tchum, whatever, they have a different makom shvisa, however that came about. So now, as we've been discussing now for these last couple of days, so then you only have what is the overlap. Meaning basically now what you have a partnered piece of bread. Much like the we discussed just yesterday, you have a cloak that's partnered by two different people. You have a suit owned by two different owned in a partnership by two people. So we can even come up to the scenario. Remember, we said this in yesterday's daf. We can even come up to the scenario where, let's say, my makom shvisa is 2,000 amas to the north. My partner's makom shvisa is 2,000 amas to the south. So where can we wear the suit? Only at one central point. Only at the one point where there's just a bit of overlap between the two tchumim. So here with the bread, right, same basic story. In other words, so if the bread is a combination of my flour and my neighbor's water, so then the tchum has to take both of our ingredients into consideration, and I can only carry the bread in the overlapped area. That's what we discussed yesterday. There wasn't much of a discussion. That's the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah taught us yesterday. If you want to see the Mishnah inside, you go back to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and you take a look at the bottom of the Amud, and the Mishnah says, Ha'isha sheshala mechaverta, if a woman borrowed from her friend, tavlin umayim, spices and water, melach and salt, li'isasa, for her dough, so it's the karagle shteim. In other words, so now you have to take both tchumim into consideration, and you cannot take the bread anywhere beyond the point where both of them can go. Okay, adkan. That was the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very clear. Now, there is a statement in the Mishnah which we're going to approach later on this morning, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that water is negligible and you can ignore water. Okay, which we'll come back to later on, and we'll discuss Rabbi Yehuda. But in the meantime, however, what we're dealing with now is a very simple question, and that is, what about the concept of bittul? Why don't we say bittul? So this is a question that was posed in the Gemara, and this is a question that we're going to be dealing with now for, I'd say, about the next 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And that is whatever happens to the concept of bittul. You remember? The way the Gemara introduced the question to us was Rabbi Abba making aliyah. Rabbi Abba is going to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to learn now with the Amorim at Eretz Yisrael. He's slightly nervous, a little bit intimidated. He davened to Kadosh Baruch Hu, may be your will, that what I say is going to be accepted. We pointed out yesterday, a little bit of Musa we learned yesterday, meaning that's not the goal of learning. The goal of learning is not to say something which is accepted, but rather to say something which is correct. Okay, so anyway, but he went to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, so they were learning this Mishnah in Beitzah. And after learning the Mishnah Beitzah, so then they asked the question, the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, right? The Gemara yesterday brought in a whole number of Amoraim that were learning the Sugya, six possible different Amoraim who were learning the Sugya anyways, but they all arrived at basically the same question. Mm-hmm. What about Bittul? Meaning, let's assume the flour is the Iker, the flour is the essential component of the bread, water, spices, salt, all negligible. Not negligible, but miut. It's a minority. It represents a minority. And so why don't we say bittul? That was the question. Rabbi Abba answers the question. Let's start with Rabbi Abba's answer, and we'll take it from there. So we're really on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, and we start at the very top. Hareshin is Arav Lo Kav Chitin Basar Kav Chitin. Sho Chaverus or Rabbi Abba attempts to answer, and he says like this. Let's imagine that I have 10 kav of flour, of ground up flour, gets mixed up with my friend's one kav. So it's 10 to 1. Obviously, you have a majority. You have much more than a majority. So Yochel Halav Echade. So now you have 11 kavim of ground flour. 10 of it's or 10 of it's mine, and one of it belongs to my neighbor. And I eat it, and v'chade, and I can be happy. That entitles me to be happy. How can I be happy? Meaning, I'm taking something that doesn't belong to me. I'm eating something that's not mine. So, basically, what Rabbi Abba is saying is, mamonos. This is a monetary situation. So when do we say bitter? We talk in terms of bitter when it's issur v'heter. When I have something which the Torah permits and something the Torah prohibits, and I have more heter than I have issur. So then we could talk in terms of bitter. But over here, it's a monetary issue. I own a lot. My neighbor owns a little. The two get mixed together. So we don't say bitter when it comes to mamonos. What's even the question? That's why we're not going to say bitter. So achichu aleha. So without giving much explanation, the Gemara says they laughed at Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba's answer was not accepted. Amalu gulasaychu shakli. So he says to them, "Did I take your coat?" Meaning, what's so funny? So hadar achichu aleha. So they continue to laugh at him. So he did not have a great first impression in the base medrash in Eretz Yisrael, and it didn't go over well. So, what exactly is the counter-argument to Rabbi Abba? Rabbi Abba, as we mentioned yesterday, this is pretty much where we ended yesterday, Rabbi Abba seems to be making a pretty good point. So, where do the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, what are they objecting to? So, Am Rav Oshia Shapir Abba Dachichu Ala. So Rabbi Oshia says, yeah, good. Meaning that's, it's a hard time accepting his answer. So, Maishan Chitim Besarim Delo Kamar. So, the Gemara over here now is going to touch on a technical point about Rabbi Abba's answer. Rabbi Abba, when he gave the answer, he gave a specific scenario. He said, I have 10 kabim of ground up wheat mixed in with 1 kab of ground up wheat. What we would call in halacha, min bimino. Things that got mixed up together, which are like items. So the Gemara says, isn't it interesting? This is Rabbi Yoshia now critiquing Rabbi Abba. Isn't it interesting that you gave a case of min b'mino? Why did you avoid giving a case of min b'she'eno mino? Oh, I think I know why. So he goes on to explain. So, Maishan chitim b'sarim d'lo kamar. How can we name the case of wheat and barley? Now, we're not talking about the actual kernels themselves. The actual kernels themselves are totally recognizable. So there wouldn't be bittul. If you can distinguish the various components that were mixed together, then it's not mixed together. It's not called the tarovis. So it must be over here in that we're discussing where they're ground up. So from our perspective, it just looks like flour. So I have wheat flour that gets out mixed up with barley flour. And now the tarovis is indistinguishable. And now what do we say? Bittul. And this is min b'she'eno mino. Now min b'she'eno mino, if I have unlike mixture items that get mixed together, so there's bittul, and there's no question that there's bittul. Meaning min b'she'eno mino, if I have dissimilar tastes getting mixed together, as long as I have a majority of one over the other, so then undisputed that there's bittul, that there's nullification. If there is this is a tarovis point. If there's a taste consideration, so then you need shishim, then you need 60 times the amount. But if there is no taste consideration, so then the afilaburo. And most of the time in misheno mino, there is a taste consideration, so there's batal b'shishim. But either way, in other words, right now we're just dealing with the larger points. And that is, there's always going to be bittul by min b'she'eno mino. Reb Abba, how come you didn't give that example of min b'she'eno mino? So, dahavale min b'she'eno mino. Or min b'she'eno mino bittul. Strange that you didn't give that case. And what did you do? Chitim b'chitim nami. And you went to the case of wheat and wheat. Okay, that's min b'mino. Now, nehidul Rabbi Yehuda lo batel rabbanim mevatel batel. Now, it's true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no bittul by min b'mino. Okay, that's a shita Rabbi Yehuda. We see it in Shas again and again. Fine, that's true. But there's also the Chachamim. Now, by the way, who do we paskin like? So most Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim. That there's bittul even min b'mino. There's a chumr of Rashi. Where Rashi says a couple times that there is no bittul by min b'mino, he passed on like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but anyway, again, just dealing with our the Gemara. So even in the case of min b'mino, there's bittul. So, right, Rabbi Abba, you were trying so hard to avoid the case of min b'sheino mina because you know that there's bittul over there. Okay, but even in the case of min b'mino, the case that you are suggesting, where I have the wheat flour getting mixed up with wheat flour, so according to the Chachamim, there's also going to be bittul. So again, we're back at square one. Why isn't there bittul in our case in the Mishnah? So Amalei Rav Safra Moshe Shapir Kamart. So Rav Safra turns to Rabbi Yoshia, and Rav Safra says to Rabbi Yoshia, you know, I'm gonna disagree with you. I'm gonna defend Rabbi Abba, and my defense of Rabbi Abba is basically back to the point of money, meaning you can't just simply ignore Isser and Heter are subject to Bittul, but money's not subject to Bittul. And the Gemara says, and let's make this point. V'lo shmi aluhu hadam Rabbi Chia ketus pa'a mishmei derav habaritzoros migrana shel chavero. Let's say you do the following. You go into the granary of your friend. And what do? You pick out little stones, little pebbles. Okay? Chayev l'shamalo demechitim. You have to pay him the value of wheat. Okay, what's the scenario over here? Rashi explains. Scenario basically goes like this. My friend has a granary. He plans on selling wheat. And inevitably, when you go out to the field and you harvest the wheat, and even after you winnow, and even after you sift, there's still going to be small little pebbles in the wheat. That is natural, and that is acceptable. And even in Mecca Chumemka, even in commerce, when someone comes over to the farmer and says, I'd like to buy a bushel of wheat, I'd like to buy a kav of wheat, so included in that is going to be the small pebbles. That's not cheating. That's just simply acceptable because that's natural. And it's understood there are going to be small pebbles in the wheat. Fine. Let's say I go over to the granary of of the farmer, and I take the pebbles out. So basically what I've done is that now I've diminished the amount. He now, when he sells a kav, he has to now add more. So it's interesting. What I ended up taking was little pebbles. I took nothing really. But because I diminished the amount, and now he has to supplement that amount that I took, so now it's for him it's a loss. So the item itself has no value, but to him has value. And what's the halacha? Very clear. The halacha is chayav l'shalim. Demei chitim, I have to pay. Even though the amount that I took is quote-unquote negligible. But I still have to pay. Alma, kilachasre, hachanami, kilachasre. And so you see over here that even though it's just, what we would think it to be negligible, it's not negligible. If it has a monetary value to him, it means something. And so basically what Rabbi, I want to get everyone straight over here. So what Rav Safra says in defense of Rabbi Abba, attacking Rabbi Yoshia now, is that no, this is a monetary issue, and therefore monetary, if it's money, money's not subject to bittul. So Amarle Abaye. So Abaye says, no, I'm going to defend Rabbi Yoshia, and I'm going to go on the attack against Rabbi Abba. So Amarle Abaye. Okay, so you're right on the Gemara. So Amalei Abaye v'lo shani leimar bein mamash sheyesh latovim lamamash shein latovim. So good. So in the world of money, we can make a very simple distinction, meaning there's money where you take it and I'm going to be toveya. That's mine. What are you doing? Give that back to me. So that's mamash sheyesh latovim versus mamash shein latovim. Money, it's true, it's monetary, but there's no toveya. No one's going to demand it. So let's go to our scenario. Our scenario is, I need water, I need spices, I need salt. So what do? I go to my neighbor. Can I borrow? Sure. That's mamash she'ein lo tovin. Willingly, my neighbor is there handing me the water and the salt and the spices that I need in order for me to make my bread. So there, you can't call that monetary law. That's not monetary law. That's mamash she'ein lo tovin. And so therefore, once again, back to square one. So why don't we just simply say bittul? Amalei l'tameh chadam rev chista, nevela batla b'shchuta, lefi sheyefshar l'shchuta sheteas nevela. So the Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. Rev chista teaches us a halacha, that nevela becomes batal in shchuta. Meaning, I have nevela and shchuta get mixed together. Rashi points out, we are discussing in the world of tuma and tahara. What's going to happen is that if I have a little bit of nevela gets mixed up with a lot of shchuta, it's subject to bita. Lefishi e efshar l'shchuta shetase nevela. And the reason why is because shchuta can never become a nevela. However, shchuta ain't a betela benevela, but if I have a little bit of shchuta, gets mixed up with a lot of nevela, so there's no bita. Lefishi efshar l'nevela shetase shchuta. Nevela can become shchuta. Now, if we're talking about Issa Veheter, this line of Gemara makes no sense. We're not talking about Issa Veheter. We're talking about Tumah Tahara. Now, we know that an animal shechted, does it give off Tumah? No. In other words, shechting accomplishes two things in life. Shechting, number one, makes the animal mutter for me to eat, and number two, prevents the animal from becoming a nevela. If an animal is not shechted, so that means the animal died without the benefit of a shechita, so the animal now becomes a nevela. And it's an ava tumah, gives off tumah. Tumah gives off tumah. Bamaga, bamasa. Okay, so now here goes the halacha. The halacha is that if one if one can turn into the other, so then basically what we're looking at is like mixture, a case of min bimino. If one cannot turn into the other, so that's a case of min b'sheino mino. So, if I have nevela gets mixed up with a lot of shchuta, so the nevela will actually lose its status of nevela. A nevela will become like a shchuta. Again, never permitted to eat, that's not the point. But once the nevela becomes spoiled and decomposed, it no longer has the status of nevela, it no longer gives off tumah. So basically, the way we could view it is tahara and tahara. In other words, something which is tahara, something which is going to be tahara. But if I go the other way, if I have a little bit of shchuta gets mixed up with a lot of nevela, well, shchuta can never become nevela. So lefishi, so esher she nevela shetatsa shchuta. So hachanami di isle balim lo batla. Fine. So in other words, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, why nevela and shchuta have to be introduced over here to make the next point of the Gemara. The Gemara's general point is, yes, we'll talk about bitol, but dechis le'ban lo batle, but if there's ownership involved, so then there's not going to be bitol. So I don't know, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know why the nevela shchuta, the fact that nevela can become shchuta, the fact that shchuta can never become nevela, I don't know what that added to the whole discussion, but still the basic point of the Gemara is that if there's money involved, if it's a case of property and ownership, so then there's not going to be bittul. V'chitei machanami, and maybe you'll tell me, well, maybe not. Maybe that's not true. V'hatai, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Am Rav Yochanan ben Urich, efsei hefker konim shvisa, alfa pishein lo balam, domim kemishi yesh lo balam. So the Gemara says, in terms of tchum is concerned, so we know that tchum establishes ownership even if there is no actual owner. Meaning, let's say I have an item going into Yantav and it's owned by nobody. What we would call in halacha, hefker. And the hefker item now goes into Yantav and nobody laid claim to it on Yantav. And now someone picks up on Yantav. So whose tchum does it follow? According to Rav Yochanan ben Uri, it follows its own tchum. Meaning wherever it was situated. If it's in a city, so the city becomes its dalar amos and the tchum begins outside the city. If it was not located in the city, if it was somewhere outside the city, the tchum begins from the point that you actually pick it up. Anyway, but what do you see? You see that when it comes to property, when it comes to money, even if it's not owned by anybody, it's viewed as if it's owned by somebody. So now, once again, basically the Gemara, back to square one. I have now on Yontif, my flour, and I took somebody else's water with permission, and I took someone else's spice and somebody else's salt. And I blend them together to make bread. So the Mishnah says, so whose tchum does it follow? Both of them. So the Amoraim are wondering, what about the concept of bittul? So the Gemara's basic response is, well, this is monetary law. And because it's monetary law, therefore it's not going to be subject to bittul. And we see that in the world of tchum, we take monetary consideration into such consideration that even if an item goes into Yontif without an owner, we view it as if it has an owner. So once again, you see that when it comes to something which is monetary, so ownership is taken seriously into account. And that's why there's no bittul. Amar le mi kamedamis isura le mamona. Isura bato, mamona lo bato. So then the Gemara ends up this entire discussion, a difficult discussion, a discussion where some of the give and take is just hard to understand, but the Gemara ends off by saying, how can you compare Isser to Mammon? Mammon is not subject to Bittol, Isser is subject to Bittol. What exactly does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi explains at the tail end of this whole discussion, the Gemara says, look, money's not subject to Bittol, that's never up for discussion. Really, truth of the matter is, even from the beginning of the whole discussion, we never even entertained that. That if I have somebody else's money mixed in with my property, so we'll never say Bittol, even if what I have is a lot more than what he introduced into the mixture, obviously. But what we mean is basically the following. We are now talking not about Mammon, we're talking about Isser. Meaning, my neighbor willingly gave me water, salt, spices, so that I can make my bread. There really is not a monetary consideration. The only consideration is tchum. Tchum is not mammonus. Tchum is iser. Meaning, on yantiv, I can't walk beyond a certain tchum. That's not a monetary law, that's an iser law. So what we're discussing over here is not, well, if somebody else's property got mixed in with my property, so that's not what we're discussing. Somebody else's property, it's not somebody else's property. They willingly gave it to me. The only consideration now is a Isser consideration, the Tchum aspect of it. From a Tchum aspect, why isn't there Bittol? That's the Gemara's question. And so even after a difficult discussion between Rabbi Abba and the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, truth of the matter is that we don't have a resolution. We thought that the big answer of Rabbi Abba is that this is a monetary issue. And basically, after all said and done, the Gemara is basically saying it's not a monetary issue. It's an Isser issue. And so if it's an Isser issue, back to square one. Why isn't there Bittol? That's the Gemara's question. And the time am I. So now the Gemara answers three lines on the bottom, Lamed Ches Amud Beis. And now the Gemara now wants answers. Why do we not say Bittol when I'm going over to my neighbor, taking water, salt, and spices, items which are not negligible, but at least a minority relative to the flour that I put into the bread, and why don't we just simply say that whoever gave me those items, even though there's an Isser Tchum attached to those items, but that Isser Tchum should become Batel within the flour that I presented. That's the Gemara's question, and now the Gemara's going to give three answers. The time am I? Abai Amar Gzera Shematase Isa B'Shutfas. So answer number one, Gzera. Meaning, you're right. There really should be Bittol. Good point. But if we say that there's Bittol in this scenario, let's go to a different scenario where I don't borrow, take, but rather there's a partnership that's created. Now if there's a partnership, so that means that both of us are considered shareholders of the bread. And so therefore, our tchum are both going to have to be taken into consideration. So if they give me the water and the flour and the spices, so then enachinami, there would be bittol. But we're worried that the next time they're not going to give me, but rather we're going to go into a partnership, and therefore it's a gzera. And yes, we're making a gzera on tchum, and yes, tchum is a din derabanan, and yes, it sounds like from the Gemara that we're ready to make gzeras on tchumim. Okay, right. I don't know if that's such a question, meaning... The gzera is that this time there would be bittol, but the next time we're going to go into a partnership. And if we go into a partnership, so then there's no bittol because both of us are shareholders. So we're worried about that case. The case where they give it will lead to the case where we're going to go into a partnership. And the general populace won't see the difference between the two cases. Okay, that's answer number one. Rav Amar, answer number two, Tavlin, the time of Avida, the time of Lo Batel. Another answer is as follows. Look exactly what was presented. So there was water, there was salt, and there were spices. Spices give off flavor, give off taste. And we say, taima tavlin la taima avide vit taima lo bato. So you can't negate the taste. So therefore, another answer, a very simple answer, a very basic answer, is that it's subject to taste, and therefore there's no bittol. And Rav Ashi amar mishum davele davar sheish lo matirin, v'chol davar sheish lo matirin, afilu be'alof lo bato. And finally, answer number three, that this is a davar sheish lo matirin, meaning that the Isser of Tchum lasts for how long? To the end of Yontif. After Yontif, what happens to the Isser of Tchum? It goes away. So in other words, this is a temporary Isser. Temporary Isser is what's called the Davish Yishlam Matirin, and Davish Yishlam Matirin is never subject to Bittol, the Chacham and Black Bittol, when it comes to Davish Yishlam Matirin. Okay, the third answer of the Gemara does require more analysis. You can take a look at Tosfos. I'll go through the question. Tosfos gives a couple of answers. I'll go through the question. Devashish Lamatirin does block Bittel, but not all the time. If, for example, Min B'Sheino Mino, Devashish Lamatirin does not block Bittel. Well, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about water getting mixed in with flour. We're talking about salt getting mixed in with flour. It's Min B'Sheino Mino. It's true Davashesh Lomatirin blocks Bittel, but not in the case of Min B'Sheino Mino. So why over here is the Gemara very confident in the fact that Davashesh Lomatirin is going to block Bittel in this scenario? Okay, Tosfos gives a couple of answers to this question. It does require more explanation. Okay, and that's it. And that ends the discussion of the Bittel discussion. Now, granted, the Lamed Ches Amud Beis component to this whole discussion is challenging. First of all, just getting every Amara straight and who's arguing with whom and who's on whose side, that in of itself already is challenging. But even just the give and take is challenging as well. But when all said and done, just a quick summary. So the question of the Gemara is that when I go to my neighbor and I borrow the water and the salt and the spices to make the bread, we have to take both Tchumim into consideration. And their contribution is not Mivutal. Why not? So after a lengthy discussion, and the Gemara basically says, leave money out of the whole discussion. It's not a monetary issue. They gave me the water. They gave me the salt and the spices. Leave money out of the discussion. From an Isser standpoint, why isn't there Bittel? So the Gemara gives three suggestions. Suggestion number one is that Gzera, a rabbinic decree, because the next time, instead of giving me the water and the spices, we're gonna go into a partnership. So we're concerned about that case. Now, so the Chachamim, therefore, where goes there? Answer number two, Tavlin, spices, Avida Lataime. And answer number three, Davishir Shalmatirin. Okay? Three possible answers why there is no Bittel. Rav Yehuda Poter B'mayim. Rav Yehuda basically says water is totally negligible. Mayim in Melech Lom. The Gemara says, look, a simple diuk in Rav Yehuda. Water is totally negligible, but not salt. So the Gemara says, "Va'atayin Rav Yehuda Amar Mayim Melech Betelim Bein Beisa Bein Bekedera." So the Gemara quotes Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that water and salt are subject to bittul, whether it's in the dough or whether it's in the pot. So in other words, salt is negligible. It's a very simple stira between the Brice and the Mishnah. The Mishnah basically says only water is negligible, but not salt. The Brisa says even salt is negligible. So Lakasha Abimelech Stomis Abimelech Astar Roknis. So the Gemara says different types of salt. Melech Stomis. Probably you heard of that before. Right. Yeah. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, the second Rashi on the Amud, Stomis, Daka Hayamaod. Rashi says it's really fine salt. So Ubetela. And therefore it's Batel, meaning that's the kind of salt where Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Brisa. Rav Yehuda says it's totally negligible. V'teda shasdom is dakehid amrinan mibnei ma'amru mayim achronim chova. And Rashi reminds us, you know, the melech sedomis, it's very fine. You could barely even see it. Which is why there's a requirement after you eat to have mayim achronim. The Gemara says in Chulin, mibnei shem melech sedomis yeshem esameh sayinayim. Because what's going to happen is that there's salt on your fingers and it blinds your eyes if you put your fingers in your eye. And so therefore you got to wash your hands after the meal in order to get rid of the melech sedomis. So you see that, actually that's exactly the point. You don't see. Meaning, why do you wash your hands? You wash your hands because I don't see the melech sedomis. So you see the melech sedomis is very fine. And that's why here, by us, in other words, in our mission, in the Braisa, when Rabbi Huda says that, don't worry about the salt. It's negligible. It's talking about melech sedomis. Okay, and the other salt obviously is right, like it's like kosher salt, exactly. So the Gemara says ve'hatayin, and the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa says Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mayim Melech Betelim Beisa ve'ein Betelim Bekeder Mimnei Rotva. Here in this brisa, we're going to make a differentiation between a dough versus a pot, meaning if I'm baking it's a dough, but if I'm doing it in a pot, so the pot kind of moistens the salt and it makes it not negligible. So the Gemara says, well, it depends on what kind of food that we're cooking. If it's a thick food, Rashi says ava. So tavshel ava she'ein rodvo nikar v'avikisa. So then it's like a stew, it's like a chulent. So then the salt becomes basically, it disappears in there. But if I'm making something which is liquidy, So then the salt doesn't disappear in there, and that explains that brace as well. Okay, but anyway, but the point is, according to Rav Yehuda, water and occasionally salt are ingredients which are totally negligible, and therefore even the contributor is not going to have his tchum affected.
In the making of bread, isn't water such an important factor?
Yeah. The Tosfos, it's funny he's mentioned that. Tosfos, the part of the Tosfos that I didn't read. So Tosfos says that, you know, he asked the question, Davishesh Lamatir Min Beshen Omino, what happened? So Tosfos, at the second answer, right, the Od Yeshlomar, so he says, where am I? Elayde, am I back there? And it's kind of Bishwa Tavlin, Im King. Right, came to Mamona, who, where'd I go?
Three lines from
the Tosfos,
4 lines from
Banos. Right, Elayde, am I back Im King, Kesher, Zebezeh, have a Kil'ilum in Echad. Right, so Tosfos says it becomes one entity. So in other words, I can't make bread without water. Right. So how can Rav Yehuda then talk about it being such a negligible item? I don't know. It could be because there's no hecker anymore.
Because it gets absorbed.
Yeah, so, something along the line.
You cannot identify that.
Right, right, right. Correct. Okay. Hagacheles. We're now talking about the flame. So the flame, Kiragle Habalim. Okay, so now, whenever you have a fire, so obviously a fire can't exist on its own. It's got to feed off something, and there's a fuel. And usually also, not only is there a fuel, but there's a base for the fire, right? Usually we call that a wick. So the Bryce over here, sorry, the Mishnah over here now discusses how do we regard a flame on Yontif, vis-a-vis, again, not carrying is not an Isser on Yontif, but vis-a-vis Tchum. So Hagachelis Karagle Habalim. So first of all, we talk about coals. So coals is an item. It's a physical item. Pick up the coal. Well, don't pick it up with your hands, but pick up the coal, walk with the coals. In other words, so when it comes to coals, so coals are identifiable, they're physical, and so therefore, it follows Ragle Habalim. Whoever owns the coals. Shalheves b'chomakom. Shalheves, on the other hand, that's the actual flame. The flame itself, you can carry the flame wherever you want. Flame is...
It's
a good question. Gemara is going to ask you a question. So but the flame itself is not obviously it's a physical entity, it's a chemical reaction, but it's not, in terms of halacha does not view it as a substance, and so therefore, if you pick up a flame, you can walk wherever you want with the flame. Okay, question, how do I do that? Gemara is going to answer ask that question and give answers. Shall have is b'chol makom. Gachel shall hekdesh mo'alam bo. Now, if I take coals that belong to hekdesh, so, and I use it for my own benefit, so you successfully violated Me'ila. Shalheves lo nenim v'lo mo'alim. But if it's just a flame, so when it comes to the flame, so you can't benefit from it, but there's no Me'ila. Right? Every time you see that in the Mishnayos, so you know what that means is that's an Issur d'Rabbanan, meaning the Chachamim were goes there. Technically speaking, that flame that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's nothing. In other words, again, it's not a substantial item. It's not an item. And so therefore, technically, I can benefit from it. There is no Isra Me'ila, but the Chachamim were goes there. The Chachamim said, don't benefit from it. But again, it's the same basic idea. A flame itself is not a substantial item. If I take a coal and move it from one Rishus to another on Shabbos, you would be Chayav. But if I just take a flame and I move it from one Rishus to another, it'd be Pater. Adkan. Adkan. So, five things that were said regarding a coal. Hagechel skaragle abalim. Vishalheves b'chol makom. So, when it comes to the coal follows the legs of its owner, meaning it subscribes to the tchum of its owner. But the flame, b'chol makom. Flame can go anywhere. Gachel shahakdish ma'alim bo vishalheves lo nenim v'lo mo'alim. So, when it comes to the coal, subject to me'ilah. When it comes to the flame, not subject to me'ilah. Okay, first two already taught to us in the Mishnah, but this obviously is a Tosefta, so it's going to give us more. Gachel shel avodah zara asura v'shalheves muteris. If I have gachel that belongs to avodah zara, so we know any item of avodah zara you cannot benefit from it. So it's right. Say it's an Issur Torah to get hana from tashmishi avodah zara. So, but when it comes to shalheves muteris. So it's just the flame of avodah zara. So that's mutar. Hamotzi gachel shel rishus harabim chayav. If I take a call out to Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, he'd be chayev. Vishal have his putter, but just carrying the flame out, you'd be putter. Hamudar haname chavero. Let's say me and my friend are not on the best of terms. In fact, I'm so incensed with him, I say I'm going to make a neder. And my neder will prohibit me getting benefit from any of his possessions, so I can't use his coals. However, but if it's just a flame of his, so I can benefit from the flame again. It's the same idea, just being presented in five different scenarios. A flame is not a substantial item. Now, the Gemara first, before dealing with the question that a number of you have been asking, but the Gemara deals with another question. Mishnah shall have a Zarja. So the Gemara says, you noticed in the Braisa, so again, the basic point of the Braisa is clear. Flame is nothing. It's not a substantial item. However, just note that the flame of Avodah Zarah, what did the Braisa say? What did the Tosefta say? Mutar Lagamri. Totally permissible. The flame of Hekdesh, Asur Midrabanan. Why? Right? In other words, if the flame is not substantial, so good, so there's no me'ilah. So, but why is it necessary to Rabbanan? So, Avodah Zarah de'me'ise v'bedila in sheminei lo gazor be'i Rabbanan. Hektesh l'amaz v'lo bedila in sheminei gazor be'i Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, because when it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's most. It's disgusting. Nobody wants anything to do with Avodah Zarah. So the flame is technically mutter, and not only is it technically mutter, but there's no gzera. Because just because I use the flame of Avodah Zarah will not bring me to the next step of taking the coal or doing anything else. People generally tend to move away from Avodah Zarah. But when it comes to Hekdesh, people don't have that intuitive nature. So if somebody benefits from the flame of Hekdesh, so then that would lead to other benefits from Hekdesh, which are prohibited, and so therefore the Chachamim are gozer. Hamotzik ha'chalas v'rishus ha'rabim chayev v'shal heves pater. Okay, v'hatanya motzik shal heves kol shu chayev. So the Gemara is bothered by a brisa. The brisa says that if I take a flame, any flame, you'd be chayev. So Amar Rav Sheshes kigon shotzia b'kiseim. So the Gemara says, well, this is different. In other words, it's not a flame. I took out a piece of wood, literally, right, like a little toothpick, a little splinter, and so the flame is being transported on the splinter, on the piece of wood. So the Gemara says, okay, but now, right, so why are we having a discussion about the flame? Meaning, why not say that you're chayv because you're taking out a wood chip? So, beitza kala. So the Gemara says, no, because for wood chip, there has to be a shear. How much wood chip do you need to go out on Shabbos in order to be chayev? So the amount of wood that would fuel and roast a small egg, a chicken egg. So the Gemara gives another example of how a person can carry a flame out. And that would be to smear oil on top of the kli and to go out with the kli and the kli is on fire. So the Gemara says, okay, but shouldn't you be chai for taking out the kli? Bechaspa. So the Gemara says, it's chaspa, it's just a shard. The Gemara says, okay, it's a shard. Shouldn't you be chai for that? But the last shear, so the Gemara says there's no shear. Did not. The Gemara quotes another Mishnah on Shabbos. Cheres kedelitim ba pitzam lechavero divrei Rav Yehuda. So the in terms of shards of pottery, how much shards do you need to go out with on Shabbos in order to be chayev? The amount that you place between one piece of wood and another piece of wood. When you stack wood one on top of another, so you put in little shards so that there's a little bit of air going in between, so that they're evened out. That's the amount of shard that you're going to be. You're going to have to go out in order to be chayv. Elahad nana mosi shalav is pater. So heichim ishkachala. So the Gemara says, okay. So those are all scenarios where you're taking flames out and you're going to be chayv. Meaning I'm carrying it on a wood chip. I'm carrying the flame on an oiled kli. So those cases you'd be chayv because I'm not just carrying a flame. It's a flame with a base. But if I just carried a flame by itself, so you'd be pater. So now we're back to the question which everyone's been asking. So how do you do that? So so the Gemara gives an explanation, and that is not clear. So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi just simply says, so know your Tanakh. So Rashi says, Viado Evan B. Rashi quotes the pasuk from Eicha, but that's all Rashi does. Rashi doesn't explain. Rabbeinu Chananel says over here in our Gemara that what the Gemara means when it says Adye Aduye is you blow. In other words, so basically, you see, you're standing with the flame in the Rishus HaYachid, And like you see in the circuses, so you blow on the flame, and the flame now goes and it jumps down to the Rosh HaSarabim. That would be a scenario where the flame is now being moved from one Rishus to another Rishus. It's a difficult discussion, and generally when you're talking about moving on Shabbos, you need an Akira, you need a Hanacha. Hard to understand where the Hanacha...
There are also two people involved in doing it, so it's one passing it to the other.
Right, oh, right. Well, I mean, that's right. That's the first mission. Right, that was the first mission in Shabbos. But even if you're doing it on your own, you still need a Kiri, you still need a Hanacha. Where's the Hanacha over here when it comes to the flame? In other words, for that alone, there should be no Chiyuv. Okay, but anyway, but just to help us at least visualize what would be a scenario where a flame is being moved from one to another.
And is the flame
mobile, homeless? Irrespective of this discussion, meaning this discussion is just simply a Hotzah discussion, it's a Tchum discussion, so even if it doesn't have an owner, but still, it's you're violating Hotzah, and you're going to be violating Tchum, at least according to Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. Anyway, okay, next Mishnah. Bor shel yachid keragle hayachid, v'shal anshei osair keragle anshei osair, v'shal ole bavel keragle hamemale. So if I have boros, pits, okay, back in the good old days, okay, so indoor plumbing, that's a modern innovation. How did you get your water back in the good old days? You went out to the well, and sometimes it wasn't a well. It was sometimes just a pit. It was a hole in the ground. Collected the water. Okay, good. Maybe you want to line it a little bit so that the water is a little cleaner. Now, whatever the case is. But you have a bore, you have a pit that has water in it. So if it's owned by an individual, so the water drawn up, whose tchum is that going to follow? Well, that's easy. Whoever the owner of the pit is, so that water belongs to him. He's the proud owner of the pit. He's the proud owner of the water. So the tchum follows the owner of that pit. So that's bor shel yachid. Anshei oso ha'ir. Let's say it's the city's bor. So then, whose tchum does it follow? But that's also easy. Karagli anshei oso ha'ir. So if I'm a member of the city, if I'm a resident of that city, so I draw from that well. So because we're in a city, so our tchum is going to be the city's tchum. So once again,
In case of the owner, if the owner of the pit is outside of the 2,000 amot tchum, so that means nobody can take any water from this pit at all?
No, wherever his tchum is, so that's where the water is going to be.
But I'm saying is that if his tchum is the bore is outside his tchum, mm-hmm. He actually moved for Shabbat.
Okay.
So can he actually move the water at all now?
I don't know. Presumably not. I don't know. I'm not sure. So then, the last, and then we move on to the last case of the Mishnah. The last case of the Mishnah is not the easy case. That's the difficult case. Well, you'll see why it's difficult. So in the last case of the Mishnah is Sha'ole Bavo. Okay, so basically what's done is, in order to facilitate travel to Eretz Yisrael, so people living out in Bavel, so what do they do? So they created not only roads and paths, but they also had to create pits. It was not a one-day travel. It was... Actually, we're going to see together Masechta Rosh Hashanah, right? We're getting there pretty quickly. could be more than 15 days, right? Why do I say that? Because we know that the Anshei Bavel observed 2 days of Yantiv because they weren't told about Rosh Chodesh. They weren't told about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh took place on the first day of the month, and by the 15th, they don't know about Rosh Chodesh. And the answer is going to be yeah, that's right. It takes more than 15 days to travel. So anyway, so how do you make the trek? How do you traverse from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? So there are boros that were established. Who do they belong to? So the answer seems to be nobody. Seems to be. And why do I say that? Because the Mishnah says that Keragle Hamimale. Whoever picks it up, he's the one who's going to, quote-unquote, own the water that's now picked up. And so it sounds like he got it from nobody. It sounds like he got it from Hefker. I mean, again, you could certainly say that, but in just a simple pshat on the Mishnah, is that it doesn't belong to anybody. Okay. The Gemara starts off, Rami le Rava le Rav Nachman, Tanan. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, we learned in the Mishnah, Bor shel yachid kerag le'yachid. Uriminu. So the Gemara starts off by quoting our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if it's a pit that's owned by an individual, so that means now that the tchum of the water inside the pit is the same as the owner. Good, that seems to be pretty clear. The problem is Riminu. The problem is that there's another Braisa. And the Braisa says, Naros Hamoshchem, Omayanos Hanovin, Harehein, Keragle Kol Adam. That if I have a wellspring that is flowing or a spring that's flowing. So they're ragle kol adam. So they are not. There is no tchum by these items. So Amar Rava. Wait, just wait one second. You'll see the answer will give everything away. Well, let's assume they are owned by somebody. And still, okay, Amar Rabba, Hach ben Maiskin ben Mekunasim, Vein Marnam Amar Rabbi Chia Barab and Amar Shmuel ben Mekunasim. So the Gemara over here gives a very basic halacha when it comes to the acquiring of a makom shvis and the acquiring of tchum. Tchum occurs when the item in question, the person, the item in question, is stationary. When the item is a stationary item, so then it acquires a makom shvisa. But if the item is in question is a constant motion, so then it does not acquire its makom shvisa. So let's even say that the spring in question is owned by somebody. In other words, the spring is in a land owned by somebody, doesn't matter. Still, the point is that because going into Yontif, it's in constant motion, so therefore it's not owned by anybody, and therefore it does not acquire a makom shvisa. Mayim mikunasim, in other words, if it's a pit where the water there is nice and still and stationary, what we would call a mikvah, so then that is acquiring the tchum of its owner. Yeah, in other words, right. So in other words, we're flowing water. Right. The Gemara in Erevin had a discussion about the clouds. Right? The clouds that bring in rainwater. So are they, in other words, is there a tchum consideration over there? And the Gemara over there, I think it's a conclusion, certainly it's part of the discussion, is that the clouds over there are in constant motion and therefore not subject to tchum. There was a larger discussion over there in the Gemara in Erevin, just reminding myself, in other words, whether or not tchum goes above 10 tefachim off the ground. Okay. Anyway, well, let's go on. Shal ole bava karagle hamemale. Ole bava follows the ragle hamemale idmar mile v'nasan l'chavero. Let's say I filled it up and I gave it to my friend. Okay, so an interesting scenario. I fill up the water not for me, but for somebody else. Rav Nachman Amar Karagle Mishin is Malu Lo. Rav Sheshes Amar Karagle Hamem Male. So Rav Nachman says, you know whose tchum does it follow? The designated recipient. It follows his tchum. And Rav Sheshes says, no, it follows the Mamale. The one who actually physically gets the water out of the pit. Okay, good. You're ahead. Okay, it's fine. Just wait. You're ahead of us right now. Well, no. In other words, you're picking it up for that person. So according to Rav Nachman, so the designated recipient's tchum is now going to be the water. That's the water's tchum because he's a designated recipient. So the Gemara now says, "But Micah Miflik, you're good." So now we have a machlokas. What's behind the machlokas? What's the mechanics of the machlokas? So Mar Saver Beradaf Kerehu, or Mar Saver Beradashutvehu. So the Gemara suggests that perhaps what's at issue over here is how do we look at the pit? The pit that's owned by nobody. Or maybe maybe it's the pit that's owned by everybody. Right? Right, nobody's and everybody's, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says maybe that's the issue over here. The question of how to view the pit. So the Gemara says if it's, well, the Gemara doesn't say, but now let's explain. So the if the pit is hefker, so the so that's not good. So look at Rashi. Rashesh is suffer beer def keruhu. Rav Sheshet is of the opinion that it belongs to nobody. It's hefker. V'hamagbiyah metziah l'chaver lo kana chaver k'damin abav metziah b'shnayim ochsin. So abav metziah, beginning of abav metziah, tenth daf in the Masechta. So the Gemara says, let's say I pick up an item. So I pick it up for me. Great. That works. Unless there's an owner and unless there's a simon. Okay, but in other words, but right now we're just talking about acquiring for hefker. So I pick it up for me. That's great. But if I pick it up for somebody else, that's no good. That doesn't work. Because I can't do that. I can't collect on behalf of somebody else if other people stand to lose. So therefore, Rav Sheshet's position is that the only person I can take the water for is going to be me. That's Rav Sheshet's position. So the way Rav Sheshet views the well is that it's considered hefker. Rav Nachman, on the other hand, says, no, it's a partnership. Bira de shutfehu. Rashi writes, lo ifkeru b'nei agola ela nasdo l'chol yisor shiyu shutfen bo. So in other words, it's not hefker, but it's rather everybody. I am a shareholder. And as a shareholder, so now we are all partners, and as shareholders and as partners now of the well, can someone appoint me a shliach? Absolutely. In fact, the Gemara in Kedushin, right? We're doing it right now in the high school. The Gemara in Kedushin and Mem Aleph, Mem Beis. So the Gemara over there says that if there's a partnership, there's a much stronger case that one can make, that one partner can enable another partner as a shliach. Okay? So the Gemara says that's the question now. A really fantastic way of looking at the board. It either belongs to nobody or belongs to everybody. And the difference would be, what happens when I want to draw water for somebody else? If it belongs to nobody, that's no good. Because I can't draw water from it. I can't pick up hefker for somebody else. That's chav lechaver, right? Tofes abalchov, b'makom shechav lecherem. But if it belongs to everybody, so then I'm a shareholder, he's a shareholder, and I'm serving as ishliach. Good. Eitzvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, the Gemara says, okay, but let me ask you the following question. Hareini alecha cherem hamudar asar. Harei ata alai cherem hanoder asar. Okay, various ways of making the nedarim one against another. Okay, again, people are unhappy with one another. However, we got to the unfortunate scenario where I'm ossering. Now, you could do it in one of two ways. I can osser my possessions onto you. I can answer your possessions onto me. Okay? Just a question of how you formulate it. So, hanoder osser. Hareini alecha v'ata alai. Shnei masterim bezeh bezeh. And you can also do both. My possessions are going to be osser to you, and your possessions are going to be osser to me. Okay? So, shnei masterim bezeh bezeh. Umutarim b'shal ole bavel. However, as we head up to Eretz Yisrael, and we approach the well, you can draw from the well, even though he's usher to me and I'm usher to him. So mutam shel olei bavel v'asurim b'shel oso ha'ir. However, something that belongs to the city, where we're considered partners in that city, so I'm a shareholder and he's a shareholder, so that we can't benefit from. Ve'elon dvarim shel olei bavel, now included in olei bavel, so are Harabayis, Lishkos, Azaros, Bor shel emtza haderech, a pit on the way. The Elohein shel oso ha'ir, and that which belongs to the city is harechov, beis haknesses, beis hamerchatz, streets, shuls, bathhouses. Okay, now, problem is, or at least seem to be self-evident. So now we have over here in this Mishnah Nedarim and the Brisa Nedarim, we have a very clear way of how to view the Bor. The Bor is viewed not as a partnership, but as hefker. It has to be. Because in the scenario where I make a neder, where he can't benefit from my items, and I can't benefit from his items, but we can go to the Bor, and we can both draw from the Bor. E amar, the Gemara asks the question. E amar bir deshut fehu, amai mutter, v'atanan, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, shut from shenazhu anaz, zemi zah, storm li kanas l'chatzir. Lirchotz b'bor. So the Gemara is the quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that once we make a neder against one another, and we are shareholders, we can't. We're partners on an item. We can't benefit from the item. Okay, so that obviously presents a problem. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami v'hacha b'ma'iskinan l'mal." Huh? Right, lirchos babor, right, we're going to take out the word lirchos over there. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami." So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Your point is well taken. Meaning that the way to view it is not as shutfus, but the way to view it as hefker. And so now we're going to stop here. And what we're left to do, we'll finish up quickly tomorrow, what we're left to do is now give an explanation of the machlokas. So again, we have a boar shell, ole regel. I'm drawing not for me, I'm drawing for somebody else. Whose tchum does it follow? So Rav Nachman says the designated recipient. Rav Shesha says the one who drew it up. And now we're left to understand what's behind the machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Shesha. Okay, we finished up the topic of bittul, really complicated topic, in terms of why there's no bittul with the bread. And then we talked about flames. We mentioned five halachas when it comes to flames. How do you carry a flame? How do you transfer a flame from one rishus to another rishus? And then bor shel yachid versus bor shel rabim. And who does it belong to? And what happens when I draw on behalf of somebody else?